53 years ago, November 22nd, 1963, John F. Kennedy, the President of the United States, was gunned down in Dallas. Ever since then, the controversy has continued. I remember that day. I was 13 years old. I remember seeing Walter Cronkite on CBS News.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
It was an amazing moment, a tragic moment. A moment that this country still has not recuperated from at all. Many theories, of course, about the death of JFK, the conspiracies. As a matter of fact, I've recently come back from an Oswald conference in New Orleans where we talked about that situation and so many people believing that Oswald was simply what he said he was, a patsy. Something else has been going on. In a moment, Richard Belzer joins us. His book, Hit List, an in-depth investigation of the mysterious deaths of witnesses to the JFK assassination. What will that tell you? He's next with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Our friend is back with us, Richard Belzer. Of course, his career, he's been an actor, author, comedian, and co-wrote a book with me called Someone is Hiding Something about that missing Malaysia plane. That's still a bizarre story. He's best known, of course, for his role as John Munch in Law & Order that was on NBC, Special Victims Unit. He's written a number of books on UFOs, Elvis, and we're going to talk with him about Hit List, the in-depth investigation into the mysterious deaths of witnesses to the JFK assassination. Richard Belzer back on Coast to Coast. Richard, welcome back.
Hey, George. How are you, my friend?
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to this, and still, they really haven't found that.
53 years?
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I was 13 years old, Richard, at the time.
Yeah, I was in college. Well, the thing is, every time I hear, I'm sure you too, whenever you hear that Cronkite clip, it just still gives me chills.
Yeah, me too.
After half a century.
It's the only time he ever cried on the air. Ever.
Yeah, well, I can't blame him. I mean, the humanity of it. And, George, you mentioned before that you were in New Orleans for an Oswald conference?
Yeah, it was a conference that was put together to talk about Lee Harvey Oswald. With the scope of the conference, Richard, was that, you know, one, did Oswald do it? Did he do it with other people? Was he the patsy that he always said he was? And the conclusion was he was the patsy.
Who was on the panel?
Oh, geez, we had all kinds of people. Sean Stone, Oliver Stone's son was on it, and another just dedicated authors into the research. No huge names, but just hardworking researchers. We didn't have Richard Belzer there. We needed him.
No, that's okay. There's but, so many other people that are, you know, great scholars on this subject.
But it's just,
as you know,
I mean, The country has never been the same since that assassination. The coup took over, didn't it?
Well, you know, technically we have an illegal government because the transfer of power was done by murder. So, you know, we're technically not a republic anymore.
That's true. It was done by
murder. Not to mention Bush stealing two elections, but that's another show.
Now, you have spent some time with this book called Hit List. You have looked at the witnesses who have died off. Let's talk a little bit about that. How did you go about finding all this?
At first, George, I'm sure you remember, there was like 10 or 11 people in the 60s, early in the mid, you know, right after the murder, that mysteriously died or disappeared or whatever. And people just ridiculed any notion that witnesses were being knocked off. And it was kind of a joke by the academic community and journalists and historians. But then when the Assassination Review Board, the House, had the hearings, and Sam Giancana and Johnny Roselli, all these people who were about to testify, were found murdered. And it was more, you know, once is once, twice coincidence.
Exactly.
Three times conspiracy.
That included Jimmy Hoffa, too, Richard. Hoffa, I think, knew a lot about this assassination.
Well, I don't, yeah, he was, he may, I don't know if he was murdered about Kennedy, but he certainly, there were some, there was some Teamster money involved. I don't want to denigrate the Teamsters. I mean, it's a great union, but in those days, it was made clear that the mob was investing a lot of money. And we know that we have recordings of Hoffa wanting to blow up Bobby Kennedy's house.
That's right.
And you hear people saying, hey, he's got kids. You can't do that. You know, I don't care. So there are a lot of people ask me who killed John Kennedy, and I say, who didn't kill John Kennedy? You know what I mean? It was like Army intelligence, elements of the Pentagon, the CIA, Cuban exiles, the mob. It's a list that makes it incredible to people who I know, and I'm sure you've spoken to people who are highly intelligent, that think it's ridiculous that there was a conspiracy. But then when you get, you know, dozens of people murdered or shot five times, and they call it suicide, which is one of the cases, it stretches credulity. And I know a lot of people over the years who have come to believe that the murder of witnesses is the tip off to this being partially a government cover up. Another thing that people are upset about, George, is the complicitness of the press with the story. I mean, to this day, people like George Will and Dan Rather and all these other people who were big names at the time have just summarily dismissed any doubt. And remember, on the 50th anniversary, Tom Brokaw had a special.
That's right.
Everyone on there just said there was no conspiracy.
I had Dan Rather on the show, Richard, a few months ago, and he still stands by the Oswald he did it theory.
Really?
Yeah, he has not moved off of Oswald being the single lone killer.
Yeah, well, he of all people, he should know better. And he lied about the Zapruder film. He was one of the first people to see it, or at least a version of it, where he said, yeah, his head went forward, you know, not back and to the left, as we all know.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
You know, it's fascinating to...
He was a reporter at the time for just a Dallas TV station when it happened.
Yeah, he was a local reporter who made his career by being on the scene.
That's right.
And misinforming America. You know? I often wonder what these people are told or what they believe. I genuinely believe some people are true patriots and covered up the murder at the time out of institutional embarrassment, didn't want the world to think we're a banana republic, and for good reasons, in their minds, covered up the murder. But as we know, it's 53 years, George, and, you know, I don't think there might be a few people still alive who were involved.
Not many.
Most of the people, right, but most, as you know, most of the people, like Alan Dulles and John J. McCone and a lot of these people, Hoover, they're all dead, you know, and they all clearly conspire. There's a paper trail. There's you know, so much work has been done. It's like an insult to the American people.
Why is it, though, Richard, that some people like you, like me, just can't give up this story? I mean, I do it several times a year, especially during this time of year.
Yeah.
You've written a book on it. You've done a lot of extensive research. Exactly.
Yeah.
Why is it we don't give up on this?
Well, I think that there is a good degree of the population that don't believe that there was a single shooter. And it goes from 90 to 80 to 70 over the years. It's always around 70-80% of people that don't believe that Oswald acted alone. And as more evidence comes out, you know, it's like it's hard to describe, but I've sat, I'm sure you have too, with highly intelligent people, and you lay out all these facts, not conjecture, because you don't need to make anything up in this case. The reality is good enough.
That's right.
And they still, they won't accept it. And I'm talking about highly intelligent writers and people in the business that I know that roll their eyes at me to this day. You know, I mean, they like me and love me and all that, but they think I'm crazy when it comes to this.
Well, I also think what is so important is,
yeah,
even
your question, I'm sorry, but go ahead.
That's okay. Even though there are different theories that surround the conspiracy, well, you know,
right.
We may have three researchers who have different theories about who killed Kennedy and why as a group,
right.
At least they're all talking conspiracy as opposed to just Lee Harvey Oswald did it by himself.
Right. And the people that are still, you know, writing and lecturing about Oswald acting alone, they have become a joke. It used to be we were the ones that were the joke. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
That they're in the minority now, people that believe Oswald acted alone.
See, I'm at a point now where I don't even think Oswald knew what was coming down. I think he was
He may have thought he was infiltrating the cabal, and he was going to be a hero.
Right.
You know, and then they set him up. I think Jim Mars talks about that.
Jim Mars. Yep, Jim Mars was there.
Huh? I love.
Well, and you know, with Oswald, I mean, the guy goes to Russia, the Soviet Union, comes back. I mean, he clearly was a...
Interview for a second. He went to Russia under a fake defectors program that was in full force. When he joined the Marines, they would recruit troubled youth and turn and make them pretend to go to Russia,
right,
to renounce the United States. And the Russians knew that Oswald was...
He's like a spy for us, right?
Yeah, but they clocked him right away. They gave him a good job in a radio factory. They kept an eye on him. And they knew, the Russians knew, there were, I think, 18 or 19 Americans that were fake defectors, and I think virtually all of them were uncovered.
And then,
God, what were you going to say?
Well, then he comes back and gets a job in a very controversial map company in the school book depository that is supposed to be almost classified. So
the job he had before that was developing the U2 photos.
Yeah.
They gave him the most highly sensitive positions, and then he bragged about, giving up secrets when he wanted to go to the Soviet Union. And then he comes back, and nobody interrogates him. He comes back with a Russian colonel's, KGB colonel's niece or daughter, and they give him a highly sensitive job. And then he goes to New Orleans, where he gets involved with his uncle, who was in the mob. And he's with, you know, Guy Bannister and David Perry. And he has all these obvious handlers. And then, guys, I mean, you're on a riff there. I'm sorry.
And, well, they have him join Fair Play for Cuba to make it look like.
Fake.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was a setup. And he fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, well, as I say, you know, he wasn't that bright. He wasn't as dumb as people made him out to be, but he wasn't as, you know,
he was naive.
He thought he was doing something cool. And I remember he was befriended by de Morenschild, who was a Nazi spy and a friend of George Bush Sr., George de Morenschild. He wrote a book about Oswald and said that, you know, Oswald liked Kennedy. You know, you talk about him at parties, and so, yeah, the fake Cuba thing, and it was clearly set up. I mean, anybody who denies that he was a patsy is really fooling themselves. You know, I was at a party a few years ago. I don't mean to drop names, but it was a lot. It was in Hollywood. There were a lot of celebrities there, big names. I won't drop, but Tom Hanks was there, an old friend of mine. And I had read that he was doing this movie.
You got to get him on our show, by the way, with you. Get him on the radio show.
Well, that might not last long. Because I begged him not to do this movie based on the material. And, you know, he listened to me. He was very gracious. And he went ahead and did this terrible movie called Parkland, you know, which just wasn't like, you know, the Warren Commission on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible and grossly irresponsible movie. And, you know, Tom Hanks is, he's our Jimmy Stewart. Everybody loves him. He's a great guy. He's done great work. And this is one area where I just feel he was profoundly naive and misguided.
Yeah.
Anyway, the movie didn't make any money and got terrible reviews, but still, I get upset when I see people that I know who are highly intelligent sign on to a project like that. And there was one on Netflix about Oswald doing it alone, like an 8-part series with big stars, and it breaks my heart.
Well,
you know, that our beloved president's head exploded in broad daylight, and we're supposed to
didn't,
go on like nothing.
Richard, didn't Jack Ruby know Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yes, a couple of people saw them together at the club, Ruby's club, the Carousel. There are several witnesses that saw them together, and also Oswald was seen having breakfast where Tippett had used to go for breakfast.
That was the Dallas police officer that was killed in the theater.
Now, do you know the theory about Tippett, George?
I had heard something strange, but go ahead, tell us.
Yeah, this is fascinating. It's very ghoulish, but unfortunately, there's a lot of corroborating evidence. Let me just set this up a little bit. The first two FBI agents to see the president's body in the hospital were Agent Siebert and O'Neill. These are FBI guys, hardened, good guys. And they both wrote in their notes, their contemporaneous notes, that the president's head appeared to have had surgery done to it.
Hmm.
And then another nurse, I think it was Aubrey Bell, said the same thing. There's about 4 or 5 people, and I think 1 or 2 doctors, that said that it looked like the president's head was surgically altered, and it was not a good job. And the idea of altering it was to ensure that the trajectory of the bullet came from behind, you know, from the depository, because clearly the shot came, you know, he got shot in the throat, and he got shot in the front of the head and in the back.
And it was triangular, right?
Yeah, there was, some people think there were 6 shooters and spotters. And, you know, there's names even of shooters. But I don't want to get into that. The thing I find fascinating is that they switched Tippett and Jack's body and did a quick job where they put wax in his mouth, and they made him, the guys at the Dallas Police Department called Tippett JFK, okay, because he looked like him.
Wow.
He looked a lot like Jack, and it's common knowledge that his nickname was JFK.
That's amazing.
He shot, mysteriously, not by Oswald. There are witnesses that saw, you know, people that looked nothing like Oswald. I mean, also, Oswald would have had to run. I mean, forget what they had him do. Was, you know,
and Oswald was told to go to the theater to meet somebody, right?
Yeah, a lot of people think that that's where he was supposed to meet his contact, his safe place. And you know, George, that there were tons of police in the back of the theater, and that there was a guy, there are eyewitnesses who saw someone who looked like Oswald go out the back, and he was grabbed. Confusing, right?
What a story. Richard, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Richard Belzer with us as we talk about his work, Hit List, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Richard Belzer with us. He's got a number of books out there on the Kennedy assassination, of course, and he is back with us. Richard, as we get into this, Carlos Marcello and Sante Trafficante, the mobsters from Tampa and New Orleans, they hated Kennedy too, didn't they?
Oh, well, you know, when Robert Kennedy was made Attorney General, he went after these people. And, you know, the elements of the mob are folded, were folded into our government, at least since World War II, when Lucky Luciano helped our invasion of Italy by calling ahead to the Sicilian mobsters and the mafia in Italy to stand down when Patton came through.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the operation in World War II going into Italy was called Lucky Forward, after Lucky Luciano, who helped naval intelligence with the invasion. Anyway, you were what were you talking about? Oh, yeah, Trafficante.
Yes, those two mobsters. I mean,
Marcello was grabbed by Bobby Kennedy's people and taken out of the country and left without a passport, barefoot in the jungle in Honduras, and somehow he made it out. So he obviously loathed Bobby Kennedy, and a lot of people think that he was at the very center of the mob's aspect of the murder, because as I said before, there are elements of the mob that were involved. So one of his people that were in jail with him, which, you know, you can never rely on a jailhouse thing, but had some pretty interesting things to say, that Marcello told him that the guy could have no way of knowing by being in prison. So they really, really, the mob was betrayed because they felt Joe Kennedy, who was ran Scotch through Canada and made millions with the mob, they thought, well, the old man's with us, you know, the son's not going to. And so they were just livid and said that, you know, we got to get him. And then some people said, you know, you got to get the president, not Bobby. You know what I mean? It's like they hated both of them. And plenty of reasons for those guys to want them out of the way.
Exactly.
Whether they helped with it or somehow logistically or, you know, donated shooters, you know. And then Sam Giancana, Sam the Man Giancana, he was a nationally powerful mobster who was based in Chicago, but he had business interests in, you know, Vegas and Miami, Hollywood, Latin America. He died. He was in his house cooking sausage and escarole and was shot in the head.
In his house.
Times.
In his house.
In his house, supposedly under guard. His murder was directly linked to the fact that he was being forced to testify.
I think the guard killed him.
Well, somebody, there's only a few people there, and they never, you know, indicted anybody about it. But he was set to testify, and he was, you know, that's an interesting thing with the Assassination Review Board. Witnesses were dropping like flies, and it actually scared some of the people on the
panel. Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, they said there probably was a conspiracy, and then they didn't hand out any indictments. So very few people know that an arm of the government found a case for conspiracy, but it was, you know, it was not broadcast, or it wasn't on the front page of the papers or anything like that.
Richard, didn't they have a recording that was in open mic, maybe a police officer's mic or something, but they had a recording that clearly you could hear more bullets than what the Warren Commission had said?
Yeah, there was a radio was left on a motorcycle cop. So, but, you know, George, what everyone fails to realize, and I'm shocked by how many really good researchers and writers and commentators, no one mentions silencers. They say, oh, there was three shots. Oh, there was four shots. Oh, there was nine shots. There were shots that were fired at the exact same time. In addition, there were silencers. So people that have spent, you know, years writing books about there's four shots, unfortunately, that's a big waste of time, because it's known that the CIA had in its possession a very highly sophisticated silencer that was used on certain weapons.
And it was a rifle, wasn't it?
Yeah, or a pistol. I mean, I don't know what the actual weapon was, but the technology was there. I mean, it could have been the guy in the sewer, you know, with a silencer, or somebody behind the fence, or it doesn't matter. The point is that we've been missing. I mean, this dawned on me like 5 years ago, and I've been studying the case, you know, for 30 years up until then.
Wait a minute, and then. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I read that there was this, I think probably, well, anyway, I was going to say German, but there was a guy who perfected this technique of virtually silencing these weapons. So the whole thing of how many shots is impossible. I mean, there are bullet holes in the windshield. There are bullet holes in the door. You know what I mean? In addition to the bullets that went through the president. And obviously, Connolly was shot by separate bullets. There were bullets flying all over Dealey Plaza that day.
The witnesses, how soon did they start dying off? Right away?
Well, that's a good question. Well, when I look at, I have a list here, as you know, in my book. Some of these people, hold on, George.
Okay.
Excuse me, I had a cough.
All right.
Some of these people.
Thanks for moving away, by the way.
Ostensibly of so-called natural causes. Aside from that, in 1964, okay, Jim Cothey and Bill Hunter, these are two newspaper reporters, George. One died of a karate chop to the neck, and the other was shot by a policeman, ostensibly by accident. These guys, Cothey, is one of the things, the thing was, he was killed by a burglar with a karate chop. But the burglar took all of Cothey's notes, and not no money, no jewelry.
Jeez.
They took all his stuff.
The notes.
And book. Hunter, in a bizarre event, a policeman was reportedly playing around at quick drawing his weapon from its holster and pointing a loaded gun at Hunter. It accidentally went off, killing him.
Now, for both of them, what were they working on?
Drunken stripper, what?
What were they working on, Richard? What kind of stories?
Okay, good question. I'm reading through the murder here. They were both working on Kennedy books. They both had, like, firsthand knowledge of certain information. Both of them had been at Jack Ruby's Dallas apartment the same day that Ruby shot Oswald.
Oh, my gosh.
They were there with George Senator, Ruby's roommate, who blatantly perjured himself in testimony of the Warren Commission. He said that he had no memory of the event.
Uh-oh, the Belzer dogs have come into the house, huh?
What? Oh, yeah, I have five dogs.
My God.
Let me close the door. No, they're great.
All right, that's okay. What kind of
happy to see my wife?
What kind of dogs do you have?
Children, Daddy's on the phone. They're quiet down. Nothing like dogs.
What kind of dogs do you have?
Human.
What kind of dogs do you have?
I have two border collie mix, three border collie mix, and a little poodle terrier and a little Chihuahua Italian Greyhound. Who was a rescue.
It's the Chihuahua, but, that's the barker, right?
Little... George, do you ever come to Europe?
I have not been to Europe. I've been to Canada, I've been to Mexico, I've been to almost every state in the country.
You have to come to my house, my friend.
How long do you live out there?
I've been here for the last 3 years.
Straight through?
No, I came back to do Law & Order and a movie. I did a movie with Robert De Niro called The Comedian, which will be out next month.
Okay, so you come back.
Yeah, once in a while. But, you know, it's hard to leave. I live in a little village where all the people are great. This was the area in France where they hid Jews during the war. So my friends would say, why are you moving to France? You know, they weren't so great with the Jews. I said, man, they hid.
They hid the Jewish. That's right.
For 5 years.
They were wonderful people.
It's a great life.
Were you there during that terrorist truck driver episode?
I was here on 9/11. Or which terrorist thing?
The one in France. Yeah,
I was here, but I'm in the southwest. I'm far from Paris.
Ah, okay.
But of course, it being the country, the small country that we are, it was really, really You know, everyone was mourning.
Oh, it's horrible.
And I'll tell you something, George. We were here on 9/11, and we had people come to our house and sit with us, French people, who's told us, we remember when the Americans came to Normandy and liberated us, and we stand with you. And, you know, it was like we were crying. I mean, it was this people that we hardly knew from the village would come by just to, you know, to sit with us.
That outpouring of love and affection is just unbelievable.
That moment in time in history when the whole world was on, you know, opened their hearts to us.
Yes.
And then Cheney said, "This is great. Let's take advantage of this goodwill." That was a great moment in time when we were all together.
And we'll eventually find weapons of mass destruction.
What?
Eventually, we'll find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, right?
Yeah, that was.
That's another show all by itself, Richard. So tell me this: back to Kennedy. How did you get?
Okay.
You know,
I'm sorry, if Kennedy were alive today, Standing Rock would not happen. That's one of the things he really spoke about and wrote about, was equal rights for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on in Standing Rock in Dakota is one of the most loathsome, egregious, not that we haven't treated Native Americans bad enough. Now, in freezing weather, they're shooting water cannons at them and rubber bullets. Peaceful demonstrators on their own land trying to protect water. You know, George, you should do a show about this.
Yeah, we are working on that because I think it's horrendous.
My friend, you know Mark Ruffalo, the actor?
Yeah.
He plays the Hulk and the Avengers. He would love to do it. He's a fantastic spokesman on this subject.
Okay.
And it reaches far. It's a great subject, and I think you're one of the few places that would do something about it.
Yeah, get him in touch with us.
Oh, great. I'll have Mark get in touch with you. He's a fantastic guy anyway. But this subject, you're the perfect guy to do, you know, some time on this, George.
Yeah, because they're not getting the exposure they should be getting, that's for sure.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah. So but back to Kennedy, how did you get interested in investigating this?
When the murder first happened, I was in college, and then the Warren Commission came out, and I mean, I remember sitting in my dorm watching Oswald get shot on live television, which, you know, no one had ever seen anything like that.
No, ever.
You know, the president's dead, we're all in shock, and then the guy that supposedly killed him
gets shot
by police, he gets shot. The thing that got me really interested, George, was Mark Lane's book, you know, the first one.
It's exactly happened to me, too. Same thing.
That kind of piqued my interest. And then it kind of went away. And then the Clay Shaw trial happened, and that was, like, weird. And then the big thing for me, George, was Watergate. When I started investigating Watergate, you know, reading about it, I saw some of the same names that were involved in the Bay of Pigs. So, whoa, wait a minute. And then that's the Pandora's box for me, is the correlation between Watergate and JFK and the same players. You know, I often say to my friends, the president is a part-time worker. There's a permanent national security state that's in place. You know, that some, you know, presidents come through for 4 or 8 years, unless they're murdered. You know, they can try to do things, but clearly there's like 18 intelligence agencies that know stuff the president doesn't know. I have a joke that I tell. It's not a joke, but I say every new president since Kennedy is brought into a room and they show him the Zapruder film.
You know what? You might be right. You will march to our beat.
Oh, no, they'll say do whatever you want, but when we tell you not to do something, don't do it.
That's right. Exactly.
Period.
Right. You have, I want to divert just for a little bit, because you've written on UFOs as well, and there was always this rumor in the UFO community that JFK was going to spill the beans on UFOs, and that contributed to his assassination. I don't think so. But what have you heard about that?
Well, I understand why that could have been misinterpreted. It may very well be true. I have no proof. What I do have proof of, which is documented, and you can find it in, if you don't believe me, the reality is John Kennedy was wanting to, first of all, he had the first nuclear, the first treaty to ban nuclear weapons in outer space, which is an incredible achievement. He got that from with the Russians. So he and Khrushchev, as we now know through Khrushchev's son and other people, he and Khrushchev really wanted world peace. They really did.
Yeah.
And there were elements in Russia, just like in the United States, that were very right-wing and against any rapprochement. And they fought Khrushchev, as the people in the CIA and the military were against Kennedy. What Kennedy did do, George, was he wanted to have a program with the Russians in case an unidentified flying object was spotted. He did not want the Russians to think it was us, and he didn't want us to think it was them. So he wanted to share, he ordered, actually ordered the Pentagon to share information with the Russians so that there would not be an accidental war based on unidentified.
I had heard that, yeah.
So that's true. That's, you know, as far as him being murdered because he was going to reveal it, I don't have enough to make an intelligent statement.
Or that even Marilyn Monroe knew the secrets because she was with Kennedy all the time, and that she was going to go public.
Yeah, who claims that Jack told Marilyn he was going to see a UFO. But that stuff detracts from the factual historical reality. Those things are fun, but the facts are much more compelling and interesting, you know, to make this case rather than, you know, talk about knowing about you. If you just say Marilyn Monroe and UFOs in the same sentence, you're laughed out of the room.
That's right. How could all these people involved with the Kennedy assassination, Richard, how could it remain such a secret?
Obviously, it's not a secret, George.
Well, it was
then. Hundreds of books. What?
It was then, basically. The media didn't touch it.
At that time, we had three networks. They were all complicitous in the cover-up. They were all told by the government that to say anything other than a lone assassin would risk a war with Russia because, you know, the Cold War was
right. And nobody ever questioned government. At that time, nobody ever questioned government. I even know my father, who was a World War II veteran, I mean, if you would ever tell him, you know, the government is spying on Americans or testing biologicals, which they did in the 50s, he would say, there's no way, George, there's no way. People believed everything the government fed them then.
You know, that generation, our parents, who had seen the Depression and World War II and the Korean War, you know, grew up believing in the government as the protector, you know, as do you remember when the Nixon tapes came out and people were shocked that Nixon was swearing?
Like, yeah, exactly. Hold on, Richard. At the top of the hour, we'll come back. One more hour to go with Richard Belzer. Phone lines are now open, too. We'll take your calls with him next.